Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Those of you who just logged on to the Metron Live podcast, we welcome you, coming to you live from Metron in beautiful historic Midtown Atlanta. Metron people, give the podcast people a big hand. For those of you who are here, if you're not accustomed to podcasts, it's not complicated. If you have a smartphone, there probably already is an app on there, and this doesn't cost anything. All you have to do is, I think, register for it, and it will the great thing about it, it'll show you what's on deck. It'll show you the next thing that you haven't listened to. And I love podcasts. When I get tired of listening to the radio, there's a lot of really good, interesting ones, and I think this is a good one. I'm going to be brief today because we are going to spend some time in meditation, and those of you who are new to this, you're not becoming a Buddhist. This is Jesus is meditation friendly, believe me. But I do want to share a few things. Our titles for the series this month is Free Your Mind and the Rest Will Follow, Healthy Thinking and Prospering as Your Soul Prospers. Of course, we haven't really looked at 3 John 2, but that phrase, prosper as your soul prospers, comes from that, where John wrote in that third epistle, he says, I wish above all things that you prosper and are in health as your soul prospers, or in direct proportion to the prosperity of your soul. Meaning, you can have the best doctors in the world, you can have the best medicine in the world. If this isn't right, the medicine's not going to really, it's only going to take you so far. And I have to say, the young man, some of you know who he is, maybe you don't, but when I visited him yesterday, his situation is very serious. However, even without sitting under recent teaching, he was saying all the right things. I said, I like the things that I'm hearing you say. And I said, I'm going to pray for you because that's what I'm supposed to do. But let me tell you, the prayer is nearly incidental. What really matters is how you think about things. And do you want to live? Do you have something to live for? Are you happy in your life? I'm telling you, when we talk about happiness, that's not some superficial thing that you make memes about. People live and die because of happiness or unhappiness. More people die of unhappiness than die of actual viral diseases, I'm telling you. There might be a disease that gets the credit for it, but it's really what's going on in here. Because I've known people that memorized the Bible and flatlined quoting scripture. And then I've seen other people that didn't know anything. They just kind of just had a good attitude or whatever, and they pulled through. One thing that he did say to me yesterday, because you know he's been diagnosed with cancer and it's very painful, and I told him, I said, I may be wrong on this. I don't think I am, but I don't feel death in your room. I said, I'm not saying your fight's over, but I don't feel oppression on you. You feel alive to me. I don't know how to explain that, but I just know, I can just tell it. I've been doing this so long, it's just an easy read. And there are some people I think, well, let's just pray for you to have a safe passing because I don't think you have the fight in you or the energy in you to survive it. Because I can preach the best sermon in the world to you, but if you don't believe it's applicable to you, and you know if you don't have some basic things about loving your life is important. Loving your life is a holy thing. But anyway, he did say this to me, and it reminded me. I asked Ken to come in the room too, and I told them this little story. But he said earlier today, the pain was so bad. The way he prayed, because he's from Rockdale County and he's a country boy. But he said, I just said, God, come on, man. He said, it hurts really bad. Stop this pain. And he said, and it stopped. I said, well, it's interesting you said that, because a few weeks ago, remember I told you we were sitting there and I kept having a pretty serious chest pain. And Ken said, should we do something about it? I said, no, there's nothing wrong. It's not my heart. I don't know what it is, but you know, you keep sitting there like, it'll go in a minute, and it wasn't going, and I thought, I'm not going to do the emergency room and do the EKG and do all that kind of stuff, and then say, we can't find anything, Mr. Swiley, and then go home. I just don't want to do it. So Kid, you know, he just prayed me a good Putnam County prayer. He just came over. He said, Jesus, I'm going to need you to take this pain out of Jim's chest. And I'm telling you, I went, you got to be kidding me. It's gone. I don't think Benny Hinn could have done me any better than that. Do you know what I mean? It was just like he kind of asked him like a friend. And that's why when Arnold said yesterday, I just said, come on, man. I said, you know what? That's a very legit way to pray. I think it's, I think, again, I'm not anti-prayer, but I think so much of prayer has become a performance and it's a ritual and it's a, and I'm telling you, rituals don't, they just don't work. They don't. The reason the woman with the issue of blood got healed is because she didn't follow a ritual. She just made up her own thing. She said, I think if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Nobody else had ever said that before. There was no Old Testament precedent that if you touched a holy man's clothes. She just said, no, this is how I'm going to do it. I nearly think you kind of have to find your own, your kind of rhema word. Remember when Saul put his armor on David because that was the trusted way to fight? He said, well, let me give you, and David said, I'm going to have to do it my way. And if you'd said, well, you know, putting some stones in a slingshot is not a really good tried way of battle, but that's what David knew. You have to do what you know. And he approved. Yeah, exactly. He said it hadn't been approved. Actually, believe it or not, I'm going to have to turn that off now. Thank you. That doesn't mean the air's going down. It means the fan's going off. Wear a sweater and snuggle up to the person next to you. This is Romans 12:2, which is the King James is, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I like the way it says it here in the message. He says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. What it's saying here is, don't just go with everybody else's flow and think like everybody else. You know, have you seen those Febreze commercials where it talks about people becoming nose blind? It shows this teenage boy taking his socks off, and he says, he doesn't smell anything, but it comes in, the mom, all she sees is gym socks all over you, all she smells, Jimmy's become nose blind. I think a lot of people become thought blind. They don't even realize the dumb things that they're thinking. It was interesting, and this is an apolitical statement, but I have people in my family who are extremely progressive, and I have people in my family who are extremely conservative, and they are all extremely vocal. And so I stay out of those lanes. And so I was recently with some of the conservative ones who were griping about some of the progressive ones. And they said, I just had to unfollow him because I couldn't see him post one more negative thing about Donald Trump. And I wanted to say, for 8 years, you posted much worse things about Barack Obama, but you don't see it. You see that as you were doing your duty, which is what he thinks he's doing. But they're like, they were saying, I just don't believe in all that. And I'm like, well, you did for 8 years. When you were saying he was the Antichrist and stuff. But I didn't say it. I just thought, next level, high vibration. Because I thought, y'all are living in a dimension that I'm not going to be pulled into your vortex. I have my own opinions, but I'm not going to get into y'all's thing because I'm up here. I know that sounds condescending, but you know that, who was it that was rebuilding the temple? Yes, Nehemiah. Put her to the front, on the front row. Good. Look at that Catholic girl knowing that was Nehemiah. What? Yes, it was Nehemiah who was up on the wall, remember? And it was Nehemiah, wasn't it? It better be now I've given you props. Yes, it was Nehemiah. And they tried to get him to come down. And at one point he had a sword in his hand to fight them off. But he said, I'm doing a good work and I can't come down Because there's a whole, I did a whole series about it one time where they made up stuff about him and they were like, you know, accusing him all kind of stuff. And he just blew it off. He said, I'm not coming down there because I'm up here doing this good work. And it doesn't mean you're better than other people. It just means once you start marching to a different drummer, you can even hear somebody's opposing opinion and go, well, I understand coming where you come from, why you would feel that way. And namaste. This is the great thing about America. You can have your opinion. I can have my opinion. And I'm next level enough that it's not an either or. But I'm just using that as an example. There's all kinds of things that we think that we don't even realize, wow, that's really an old thought. I will find, as enlightened as I believe I am, every once in a while some thought will come up and it's like an old file. You think, why is that still on the hard drive? Like, what? Why am I even? And at least I will recognize it and say, why am I even saying this? I don't even think this way anymore. Like when you start to complain about something and you're like, I'm too happy to complain. This is a non-issue. I'm not telling you to live in denial, but the more things become a non-issue with you, the less they become non-issues. Do you understand what I'm saying? The less you make a big deal over some negative thing. Like I notice the people who just freak out at traffic jams are always stuck in traffic. And you think, well, you know you're pulling the traffic jams to yourself. You know it's law of attraction, but they don't see it. Again, when people are in it, they don't see it. I've told this before. He wouldn't mind me telling this. He wouldn't even remember it now, but my dad always had just a pet peeve about sitting in a restaurant and somebody coming over and sweeping close to the table. He hated that because he feels like it stirs up dust, and he would just always make a deal about it. But because he hated it so much, every time you eat with dad, it's never happened with me. Every time I've eaten with dad, somebody comes, it's like you nearly wait for like, cue the sweeper. And I remember years ago, we took them to Las Vegas, and we were going to one of those big buffet things, and there was a sweeper at our table who actually got up and followed my dad all the way to the buffet table and all the way around. They swept all, and I said, in all due respect, I know you don't think you're making this happen, but do you not see you're making this happen? Of course, he said that was disrespectful, and I said, all right, fine, then sweep on. but it's funny when you see other people who don't see that, you know, you want to say to them, you're creating your own reality. You know, like, don't you know that family member that's always in drama? Always. Every time that name comes up on that phone, you're like, ah, because it's never going to be good news. Like I didn't even know on Facebook, I might not even look at it, but my phone will say so-and-so left a comment, and there's some people I know I can already look at and go, oh, this will be good, or oh, this will be sarcastic, or this will be confrontational, because you know that's just the way they always express themselves. There's some people, they're going to argue with you. If you say, the sky's so blue today, they go, well, you know, it's kind of a greenish blue, really. Like, I think you got the point of what I'm saying. But then when you see them go through negative things, you want to go, you know, until you realize you're doing it. This is why I look on the social media feed and I see so many people talking about God's up to something, God's doing something. I don't know what God's planning, but they've got this thing in their mind that God's just putting all these obstacles in front of them, like, you know, trying to teach them lessons and stuff. And because they live in that reality, they produce it all the time. Like, they're producing their lessons all the time. And when you opt out of that system, you just think, no, I'm willing to own my own life. I'm willing to believe that God created after his own kind. And when he said, let us, I believe he said, let us make Jim Swilly in our image, and gave me the ability to create my own life. And I created some things that I needed a higher power to come in and do some damage control for me, because I don't like everything that I created. And so that's where you use your surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life clause. You know, goodness and mercy got that sweeper behind you cleaning up after you, because you don't like everything you've created. And I've had goodness and mercy turn some of my own disasters into really good stuff. I'm like, wow, that was really good how you made that work out. So that, yeah, all things, I don't think everything happens for a reason, but I do think all things work together for good. So this is review for all of you, but I just want to remind you of these things. Let me show you. I think I just have about three things to show you. I like this quote because we're talking about freeing the mind. He says, I know but one freedom, and that is the freedom of the mind. I don't think I can argue with that quote. I was reading, a few weeks ago when this Bourdain and that Kate Spade, they both committed suicide. So suicide had a spotlight on it again. And I saw so many people, even people I know, who would say, oh, they need Jesus, they need Jesus. And I wanted to say, I know a lot of people that know Jesus that committed suicide. I mean, I know you mean well saying that, well, if they just had Jesus, they wouldn't have done that. But I'm telling you, Jesus could come in bodily form and move in the house with you. If you don't think right, Jesus can't help you. There are things about his own disciples that he spent every day with for 3 years. He never changed their mind. So just because you're in the presence of God doesn't mean you change your mind. God doesn't change your mind. You change your mind. You keep waiting for God to change your mind. You're going to be waiting for a very long time. There are certain things that you have to decide. You know what? I have played this victim card long enough. I've decided I don't want to be a victim anymore. I don't want to automatically go, oh my God, what now? As long as you've got the what now list going on, all that's going to happen is you're going to add more to that list. So when we see you next time, you'll be like, now let me tell you what happened. You better burn up that list. That list is taking on a life of its own. Unless you've got a good list. Now let me tell you what happened. If you wonder why I document so many things and post pictures, if I like something's going on, I want to freeze frame it. It's because if it's good, I want to exalt it. I want it because the more you praise the good stuff, you attract more good stuff to yourself. It's not rocket science. Jesus said, to them that have, more will be given. Well, that's not fair. It's the law of the universe. It's the way it works. You're wasting your time arguing about the fairness of it. If you say, doesn't God see how bad things have been for me? All you're gonna maybe get from God is some compassion. It ain't gonna change Jack. Not y'all. The next one. I like this quote by the Buddha. He says, your worst enemy cannot harm you as much as your own thoughts unguarded. I mean, Jesus said the same thing. Paul said the same thing. And that's just a universal law that made its way into a lot of holy writ. But the point is, yeah, all of those things about the accuser of the brethren and the bottomless pit and all those things, those are symbolic of the way that you think. There's not some devil that's accusing you all the time. Your own conscience accuses you. That's why John comes along and he says, if our heart condemns us not, we have confidence before God. If our heart condemns us, then we don't have confidence. And people think, oh, God's just dealing with me. No, you're dealing with you about that. God already, you're already okay as far as God thinks. I know that's hard for Christians to get, because Christians are used to self-loathing. I'm just, every day I disappoint him. I'm like, wow, what a drag. How sad for God. Every day you disappoint him. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I don't think I disappoint God every day. And I think, that doesn't mean everything I do is great. I just think that God loves me unconditionally. And there's sometimes he, she, it, whatever, whoever God is, just says, he'll learn next time. And, you know, you learn your lessons. And, you know, then you go, I got it. This time I got it. I learned from my own mistake. If you're going to make a mistake, then graduate summa cum laude. You know, graduate with a 4.0 and say, well, at least I'm not going to waste it. I learned what not to do. You know, when somebody says, you know, for the last seven marriages, the same thing has happened. You know, you don't really, you don't think you're the one constant in all those stories. Every time, like, he starts out really good and then he changes. Well, no, I think you may be making bad choices. Let me tell you about early relationship stuff. Maya Angelou said, when somebody tells you who they are, believe them. And then just one more thing I want to share with you, this quote, and then we'll go into meditation. He says, the things that trouble our spirits are within us already. In meditation, we must face them, accept them, and set them aside one by one. Meditation is not denial. Meditation is just getting quiet enough to really sort of step out of your thoughts and look at your thoughts. Why do I think this way? It's so interesting how many people have told me, especially when we first started it, how they would have an emotional reaction to it. Like, I cried, and I don't know why I cried. It's because you're finally getting quiet enough to get into the, really into, if I can use the metaphor of hard drive one more time, really get into what's making you tick. It really is your subconscious. When you start fixing things there, but beneath your thoughts, I believe change is possible. And it's not always change. Sometimes it's accepting that this is how you are, and it's why you need other people in your life who are stronger in certain areas. I don't think you have to be the end-all, be-all. Even, you know, back when I was pastor in the church, I used to tell you that I think it's, to even say I'm trying to be a Christian, I think is an arrogant statement, because I don't think anybody's supposed to have all of those attributes. That's why Paul had this concept of the body of Christ. He said, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. So that's why I'm not defensive now. I don't even hear this anymore, but when people used to say, oh, you're so full of yourself, or, you know, whatever, I think, well, you have to be to get up on a stage week after week after week for years and years and years and be willing to put up with negative comments that you get bombarded with. If you didn't have an over-the-top personality, you'd never survive it. I mean, just, I've had emails, not in recent years, but I've had emails and letters sent to me that would, somebody that wasn't strong inside, it would have just devastated them. And so now I understand and say, well, no, that's a part of my makeup. However you interpret it is fine, but I'm not trying to change that. And if there's other areas that you're strong in, then that's why I need you in my life. There's no point in belaboring that point. You know what I'm saying. But meditation just kind of makes you make peace with it all. There is something very powerful about silence, something very powerful about peace, something very important about breath. God breathed into Adam. Jesus breathed on his disciples. The Hebrew ruach, the Greek pneuma, they're both a word that's translated breath and spirit. You could even, if you didn't want to say Holy Spirit, you could say the holy breath of God. It's the same, I'm telling you, it's the same thing. So in a moment we're going to breathe. You don't have to participate. If you want to stay, then if you don't participate, then just it'll just take a few minutes. Just, I think everybody's cool with this. So we won't do any photography during the meditation. Let's bring the lights down. I don't think anybody's going to be coming in this late. So we'll have a few minutes. And I'm going to bring this over. I miss having a real candle. I like having a candle, but We'll get one later. Nah, it's fine. No, because you got to dig it out. Look at y'all. Get ready. What I'd like you to do, if you can, put both feet on the floor and empty your lap. And we're going to sit up straight. Sit up straight as you can. There's something about aligning yourself with. Thank you. It doesn't even hurt. There it is. Okay. However you want to do your hands, if you want to do a mudra, you can do that, or just put your hands in a state of receptivity like you do in worship. Meditation is very close to worship, very similar. Similar type effect. We're going to close our eyes. If you go ahead and bring up that music. Let's inhale. We're going to inhale through our nose. Exhale through our mouth. So let's inhale. Hold it. Exhale. Inhale. Hold it. Exhale. Inhale. Conscious of your breathing. Spirit and breath, breath and spirit. Most of you have been doing this long enough, you can probably get here in about 3 or 4 breaths. If you're new to this, don't worry about your thoughts. Just if they roam around a little bit, it's fine. Just gently bring them back, settle them down. Keep breathing. The goal is really to not think, to not actually visualize anything. You just want to make yourself a vessel, get yourself quiet, focus on your breathing. Inhale. Contact with the music, be in touch with your breath, be present in the moment, be conscious. If God speaks something to you, that's fine. If all you have is silence, that's fine. There's no wrong way to do this. Breathe, you're calm, you're at peace, you're well, you're whole, you're serene, you're quiet, you're at rest. David used the word Selah in the Psalms. That was the cue to meditate and think about the lyrics of the song. If you want to think about a phrase like that, like, he leads me beside the still waters, he restores my soul, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You can do that, or you can make up your own song. Consistent in your breathing. One thing that does happen when we meditate together is you begin to tap into the energy of the person next to you. That's fine. If you feel connected with them, that's beautiful. Communicate with them in a way that's beyond words. There's power in love and harmony, unity. We're breathing together, we're meditating together. There's love in this room. You're in a safe space. All is well. It is well. I'm going to wean you off my voice and let's just be quiet together. Just breathe. remain in meditation mode, but I'm aware of the presence of healing right now, so let me just say it quickly. Healing in an arthritic finger, vertebrae in someone's neck, blockage in a sinus cavity. If you'll breathe in, you'll notice that you're breathing better than you were about 30 minutes ago. There's a healing taking place. If that's you, you can tell me about it now or you can tell me later. Just stay in meditative mode. Sometimes you don't have to pray for things. You just have to get quiet enough for them to manifest. I wasn't looking for this, but if there is healing present, then make a demand on it. If there are healing gifts present, tap into them. Be well. Breathe out pain. Breathe it out of your body. music still plays. Slowly begin to come out of it. Start opening your eyes. Transition out of it that way. While we come, first of all, that was a really good meditation. That was very good. I'm just going to give you this. I'm not going to overthink it. Let me just, spirit is speaking loudly in my spirit. Let me just say it this way. I don't know the name. It's a middle name that starts with the letter P. It's an unusual name. I'm not going to try to say it because it's a name you don't want anybody to know. It's a name you're embarrassed about. I'm only saying that so you'll know who I'm talking about. It may be somebody here. It might be somebody streaming. There's a situation you're going through, very trying time in your life. Spirit says if you'll just, for the next 48 hours, just keep a low profile, stay quiet, be peaceful, this thing's going to be resolved by Tuesday. Be very aware of this coming Tuesday. I don't know who you are. I'm not going to ask you to say your name because it's a name that, frankly, you don't like to use. But I'm just saying it to say God knows who you are. Okay? And just for everybody else, I just feel healing really strong. It's interesting. Eddie, you used the term fountain of youth. I just heard this in my spirit. You know, the aging process is going on all the time. What I heard in my spirit is, you just shaved off about 6 to 8 months of the aging process in that meditation. I just heard that. It's like you just backed the clock up about 8 months worth of, however much you age in 8 months. I thought, okay, good little extended youth, I'll take it. Let's bring these lights back up. Anybody want to share anything that you got in the meditation or heard in the meditation? Did you have a confirmation? Anybody have a confirmation of healing? Or I haven't exercised that gift in a long time, but it's, I'll be on the lookout if that's anybody here. Anybody? Yeah? You not even think about you, but yeah, okay, good. Then let's send that energy to, I mean, some of you don't realize Fro is already a walking miracle, the fact that he walked out of that accident the way that he did. But I want you to be back 100%. All right, I mean, let's give you that word then. Anybody else got anything to share? Anything? Did you hear anything in the meditation? Or you too laid back? Yeah. Really? Good. Yes. Got it. Yeah. Sometimes you just have to take your hands off something and let it kind of play out. Because even praying about it too much and getting a bunch of people like talking about it too much, like you irritate it. You know what I mean? Like you stir up unnecessary stuff. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I remember Dispenza said something in that weekend I went to. He said, you don't realize how addicted you become to negative feelings. Like, because because they feel so familiar to you. Like you'll rehearse an old memory and nearly inflict the pain on yourself again. And you feel it nearly feels good to you because it feels so familiar. It's like, what is it, Psalm 126, where it says, when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were as them that dreamed. In other words, they had been down so long, they couldn't even get their head around being happy again, you know. So that really resonated with me because I don't want any trace. I want to go through like a spiritual CAT scan and them say, we find no trace of victimization in you whatsoever. Like I was like, it's like, I went for my checkup recently and they gave me all my blood tests. It was like, everything's good. Cholesterol's good. PSA is good. Everything's good. I wanted them to say, and there's not a trace of victimization in your blood. That's why I say the rest of it. But sometimes you are so accustomed to thinking those things. I'm telling you, every time I drive through Conyers, I have to, you know, think about it again. I did yesterday going into, you know, walking into Rockdale Hospital because I've got 30 years of, you know, I remember somebody died in that room and somebody, you know, Judah and Jonah were born in that room. It's a lot. And so to be able to walk in there and minister and walk out with there was no attachment at all. It's just like, well, good. Then I've made progress. There's no regret. There's not everybody that knows me is there. A lot of people are still living in, a lot of people in 1992, 97, like that, 98. Few people have made it to 2000. You'll get it. It's 2018. You believe it? It's 2018. People born at the turn of the millennium have graduated from high school now. You got to get up in the now, Jesus. This was a good day. Let's all stand. Again, so happy to see everybody. I love it. Alex said it earlier, and I'll say it too. I love everybody in this room, and I really do. And so good to see everybody. And I'm just so happy you're here. I'm not going to talk about when you're not here. Just happy you're here. And I hope you come. You don't have to be a part of Metron to come to St. Simon's. I'm telling you, it's going to be worth it. The great thing about St. Simon's, I, like I told you, I'm more of a Gulf guy than a coast guy. However, there is a kind of, like Patrick said, there's a kind of beauty to the Golden Isles that really is very special. It's very different from the turquoise water and the white sand of, you know, the Panhandle, but it's very beautiful. And yeah, it is. It is. There's kind of a mysteriousness to it that I like. There's something about Jekyll St. Simon's that feels, not in a bad way, not oppressive, but it feels mysterious and ancient, and it's just cool. So it's going to be something. What? Oh, okay. All right, well, just remain standing for this, and then I'll speak a blessing over you. And thank you. I ask you to please be aware of your giving last week, and you were, and it put us back where we needed to be, so thank you for doing that. Don't quit, but thank you for doing it. If you will do this for the YouTube audience.
Contributing to Metron is quick and easy. Simply text the amount you would like to give to 404-620-5044. And now you can give anytime by texting this number. You will then receive a one-time registration form that links your phone number and opens your account at SimpleGive. Complete the form, and you will then receive a successful registration and donation page. For additional information on your account, visit visionthenow.com and click the Support tab. Then, My Online Donation. When you contribute to Metron, you're also supporting the charity or organization of the month. Thank you for your investment in Metron.
If you're making a check, make it to JESM, and Danny will receive that. If you have cash, pay it forward. You might want to bless Alex with it if you want to do that, add to what we're doing for him. But like Dolly Levi said, money is like manure. You put it out there, and it fertilizes lots of little things and causes them to grow. So all the good good stuff that you got in that meditation. I arrest it for you and speak it into your life, and you carry it into your week. You're going to have a very serene week. We're going out of town with Ken's whole family. It's the first time they've done this in years, but since his dad transitioned, we're kind of all going down to Daytona together, like in the old days. And so we'll be gone for a few days, but you always know where to find me. And I'll be back next Sunday, and I'd like to see you all back next Sunday. You know where to find us. You're going to have an excellent afternoon. Don't forget to walk your 45 minutes. Get yourself a good nap. Get something good and healthy to eat. Remember, feed your body, not your belly. And you're going to sleep well tonight. You're going to have a very productive week. And you wake up tomorrow saying, this is the day the Lord has enabled me to make. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. God bless you. Go in peace.